on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, it's okay to clap. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. By the way, welcome to all of our visitors today. We're glad for everyone that's here. Shall we pray together? Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for this wonderful day that you've given us. And we thank you today that you are unchanging and you are worthy. You are a mighty and awesome God. Lord, we never have to wonder if you'll go back on your word or break your promises, because you never will. Your word is forever settled in heaven. And we can count on you and in your ways, Lord, every day, no matter what the case may be. Now, we thank you for this day, the 17th of January, in the year of our Lord, 2021. And I pray today, Lord, as it is still early in the day, in a respect, that we would be looking at what you have for us this day. I know this, Lord, there is a lot there. And as we learned in our junior high and high school class, today is a day to do the right thing before you. You tell us the right thing, and you'll empower us and equip us to do the right thing as well. It's found in your word. Lord, may you be in the process today, and we allowing a transformation to take place in our lives. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that have come. We pray for some yet that may be en route, and thank you for the safety. Thank you for the snow, Lord, and for your governance of all things. But above all, today, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the benevolence you had for us on the cross of Calvary. You loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you that that is yet available to all who will receive it. And so, Lord, that's the reason we meet today, to bring you honor, praise, and glory, which you so richly deserve, because you alone are worthy. We ask today that we would be pleasing to you in the things that our hearts bring forth unto you in our gathering. And we thank you now, Lord, for this opportunity to praise you, to be edified in the word, and to encourage one another. Now, I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. You have a bulletin this morning, likely, and also it's on our screen. But just a few things for the upcoming week. Let me just say this. As of now, I would say that there's not much doubt that we would not have a service tonight, like usual. Is that pretty much how everyone's thinking? So, but if that would ever be the case, that we have to cancel on a Sunday night, we'll get that word out around 4 o'clock. At the very latest. But I don't think that'll be the case tonight. So come join us tonight for real church. Amen. And what this amounts to, folks, there will be some teaching and preaching, but some sharing. And on different subjects that revolve around evangelistic circles or spheres of influence. And again, the basis of this, it's new. You'll get more used to it as time goes on over through the winter season here. But what it amounts to is working inside the walls where we gather. This building is not the church. The church is us as the believers, as people. Amen. But the thing that we need to remember is sometimes when we gather here in this appointed place of worship, we need to work to operate outside of the walls. So that's what this is about. It's evangelism put on 2 feet, as I like to call it. So come and join us for that tonight, 6 o'clock. Unless, for some reason, things would get a lot worse, Lisa, yeah. And like I say, if I don't make that decision, the leaders make it, but, you know, if we have to cancel by 4 o'clock, you'll know, or you should know, okay? Let's see, men's Bible study, keep checking with Denny when he's going to have that. Ladies will be this next Sunday at 10. Yeah, well, Sunday too. Ladies are welcome here too, aren't they? Sure. Ladies Bible study next Saturday, the 23rd, 10 to 11:30. Wilton Bible study is this Thursday at 6 o'clock. That's at the Presbyterian Church in Wilton in the basement. And then, of course, you see my thoughts for the week there. Is there anything else that we need to cover this morning in announcements? Lisa. Yes. Well, that is on my agenda for next week to talk to our folks. We have the first step here in calling a new missionary is to meet with the missionary committee. And you can look in your constitution to see how that's done. And if they are in favor of calling a new missionary, then it's brought to our congregational meetings to decide that. So, yeah, I'm interested. I thoroughly enjoyed the Countermans. And I'm excited about missions, whether they be here in Fruitland or wherever in the world. So that's how that works, Lisa. There should be a decision in the near future. And what I've tried to do, to be very honest and open about it, is that we try to coordinate all these times we meet. But possibly this week, we'll get together. Al?
Bonnie, you can have open forum for Sunday school next week.
Okay, that's been a request too, and maybe Lonnie's going to do that in the adult class. If you want to have an open forum in the morning worship service sometime, I'm good with that. Just give me a little warning, but, you know. Well, they're old enough, but there might be subject matter there they couldn't handle. No, I'm just kidding. But, I tell you what, probably myself and the junior, senior hires, we got something special planned for next week that we're probably going to. And we'll let the old gummers do the open forum. Okay. No, I know I'll be censured for that too. Is there anything else today? Okay. Then as we go to a time of prayer and meditation before the worship service, it's also a time to reflect on our gifts to the Lord. Again, we don't receive an offering during this coronavirus time from past plates, but there's an appropriate place that you can do that in the back. I encourage us all to study about what God's Word says about our giving. And to just recall this morning as we go to this time of prayer, that everything is God's, and what we have, He's just what? He's given us a loan. And He doesn't expect to pay back necessarily or force it, but He does what? He wants us to understand what He's done. So at this time, I'm going to ask that He bless both the gift and the giver, and that He'd prepare our hearts for what He has for us this morning. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, thanks once again, Lord. That word always comes to my thinking when I come before you in prayer. It's not gimme, 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 but thank you, Lord, for what you've already given. You're such a great God. If we really get down to brass tacks, which we should, Lord, and forgive us all, including me, number one, that we don't have more intimate time with you. That's what our message is about this morning. Lord, I'm certain, I can say this for myself, you know, there's so many things in the scriptures that I've seen, but they haven't struck me until I go back and see them again. And Lord, it's all there. It's airtight. Even right down to things, Lord, that we just gloss over. Mathematics. It all comes from your hand. Common science. Your word's got all that there, Lord. Help us, Lord, and forgive us for our errors and our sin. But Lord, at this time now, I just pray you bless the gift and the giver. We know it all came from you, Lord. Who are we trying to kid? It's your stuff, and you've given us abundantly. So now, Lord, as we have either given or choose to give, we pray you'd bless it. And also, Lord, prepare our hearts. That's what the message is on today, meditation. Help us to get it right, Lord, that we can enjoy the rich things that you have there for us. Now, again, we give this service and time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ladies, living for Jesus. I feel this headset tugging at me this morning. I would be remiss also for some of you too that are maybe newer attenders, and we've had such a disrupted year in 2020. When we're talking about open forum, that will in this venue that they're planning, that's a thing in the adult Sunday school class. It's where you come with questions or comments regarding spiritual things or things that may be going on today that you'd like to have a public forum on right here at the church. And by the way, be praying for our nation this week too, especially. Yeah, I haven't forgotten, and I may reveal some things later on about that. Kim and I are thinking about some things. But anyway, that's what open forum is. Now, sometimes we also have it in the morning worship service, and that's where you, and it's not designed to fry the pastor, but you can go ahead. I'm used to hot oil. I've been burned many times. But what it is just asking questions about stuff. And you're asking for my response and my comment. Also, I want you to know my door is always open to any of you. And I'm glad to visit with you at any time when, you know, you have a minute and you want to stop in. You see me here. Unless I'm tied up, you can visit. But there are times I do need some solitude to work on things. But I'll let you in a kind way know and say, well, this would be, there might be a better time. So it's always good to call, but I'm open. Now, we do have one other thing along those lines that we have here at Fruitland sometimes, and that's called a family chat night. And that isn't where we come and gossip. I think the Bible says that's not what we should do, right? But what we do is we just talk about things. You may have ideas that you'd like to see us try here. You may have constructive criticisms. But it's meant to be a time that's open. Come in. Now, I used to call it a fireside chat, but we don't have a fireplace. So, but this church is open, and I want to tell you, it's congregationally governed. I don't run it. No one runs it. I hope God's the one that we let run it. And so, you know, that you have those things here that are neat at Fruitland that I don't know any place else you could go to have those kind of things. But so we have some special things. Who's got special music? Jason. Thank you, brother.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Seeing you guys out here today. A few more this week than a few weeks ago, so this song's going to be new to a few of you guys. It was snowing a couple weeks ago, too. I'm just glad that a few more made it out today. This is called Jesus Be the Center, and for anyone that's new here, this is a learning special. We're trying to learn a few new songs as a congregation, and So we're trying to go through those, and today I'm going to give you some guidance on this one. It's a little bit different than what we're used to. So as we go through the song, I'll try to give you some vocal guidance as to what we're doing. We're going to go through the first three verses all on one page, and then the next page will be the chorus, and then we're going to repeat all that again, and then we're going to finish up with two special verses on the last page. And like I said, I'll try to give a little guidance as we go along. And don't be afraid to lift up your arms and lift up your voices to the Lord, and as long as you put on deodorant this morning, right? Praise God. And let's go ahead and get started.
Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus, be my path, be my guide.
Go on a cappella now.
Jesus, be the center. Be my hope, be my light. Jesus,
lift your voices to Him.
Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's a wonderful prayer. You know, there's such a thing known as an earworm. Can anyone tell me what an earworm is? Yeah, that's a pattern of music or song that goes, you know, music is a very important thing. The Bible endorses it. I was at a meeting at a church this week, not for spiritual things, but for another reason, a church that does not use music other than a cappella, and that's okay, but we're also thankful the Bible also endorses instruments. Not excluding our own voices either, but, you know, music is a great way to praise God, and it's a prayer. That's what that song really is. And I trust today that we're praying that God would give us that type of a relationship with the Lord Jesus, where we can honor and praise Him. Again, it's nice to be with you this morning. The title of our message today, and everyone should have a handout. If you don't, there are some floating around here. But the title of our message is the value of spiritual meditation with God in His Word. And this is another requested message. I've had so many requested messages lately that I can't hardly keep up. But I'm glad. I think it's a good thing to look into as well. And so we'll see what God has in store for us today. On that basis, again, I welcome you, and let's go to prayer, and we'll get down to business here. Father, what a blessing it is to come and to worship You and to sing praises to Your name. And I pray, Lord, this fits right in with our message today, that this song that we just sang and all the things that we've done here today might be found acceptable in Your sight and would be a part of the meditation of our hearts directed toward You in the days and weeks to come. Lord, we're thankful that Your Bible has all the answers. And we know this, Lord, that You have not left man in a dangerous position, but You, again, man has chosen a dangerous position, but You have given us everything that pertains unto wisdom and unto godliness in Your Word. Lord, help us to really appreciate and love Your Word and the things that it has to tell us. It's the answer book, and it's Your love letter to us. Now, Lord, as I bring forth this message, I pray that You give me Holy Spirit power, and also, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might have free reign today with these words that we're about to look into and with the text that's before us. And Lord, that again, You would change us and transform us to be more like You. And we'll give You the praise in advance today. Again, this weak guy up here needs Your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Friends in Christ, our subject for today is likely one of the most neglected and least understood commands and blessings of our walk with the Lord Jesus. And yes, that is meditation. Likely all of us this morning would say our spiritual life is lacking and needs great improvement. And I would fall into that category. If you and I truly desire that, and that's a question we have to ask ourselves this morning, if we really want that, our topic today is a must to accomplish it, because the topic for today, as you already know, is meditation. There are many preconceived and ill-conceived notions and definitions of it. Or we could go down to Fairfield. And this is a tragic thing. You know the school down, Maharishi International University at Fairfield, was at one time a Presbyterian college. It's called Parsons College. Now again, we know that some of their teachings were not orthodox and in line with Scripture. But just think of that, a college that was in, well, it was also known as Flunk Out U. I hope no one here is an alumni of Parsons College. That was where the students went from the other Presbyterian colleges that couldn't make it to get a degree. That's the truth. But along about 1971 or 2, Maharishi Transcendental Meditation, 90 miles from us this morning. You know, people levitate, they claim to levitate in the domes, and this is all done through meditation. But folks, and we could go into a whole bunch of things about that, those things are not of God. Because that's not what meditation is, and we're going to learn about that from His Word, what it is. But folks, there's all kinds of things, you know, that are brought into that picture. But the value that we can receive of real biblical meditation with the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we are missing out on. We're not far enough into that, folks. And we need to be further into that, and what we'll learn this morning if we ever get there, right? So there's a lot of ill-conceived and preconceived notions and definitions that would not line up with God's Word. But what we'll look at today hopefully will help us to get it right. Now, as I always say, I give a disclaimer on this. This is not an all-inclusive message on the subject. If I were to preach that, we'd be here for a month. And there's things that I may not have in here that you say, he should have had that. But you know the preaching is grounded in God's Word. And this is something that you can explore further. And if we don't get done today, we'll quit at 20 till. Because Kim has ham balls, cheesy potatoes, a vegetable of choice, and I think I saw rolls. And they're already cooking. So, Jane? Well, you talk to Mrs. Brown about that. If you're hungry, you know. Okay. Anyway, it's not an all-inclusive message on the subject, and there is more you and I need to mine from the Word to get the whole message. But know this, there is great value in meditating and meditation God's way. So may the Spirit grow us and change us today. So you've got a handout this morning. There's a lot of stuff on it. We'll do the best we can, okay? First of all, there's five questions that we're going to answer this morning, but the first one is, what is meditation? And I already gave you some examples of some things that the Bible says it is not. So let's begin this morning. We're going to look at three Old Testament examples to get a little bit of a touch here. If you have your Bibles or your device today, your scripture, let's go to Genesis 24:63 to begin. Excuse me, and we'll move rapidly through this. Genesis 24:63 should be on your sheet. What? Well, it's 24:63. I'm not going to blame anyone for problems with the typing, because Deb worked on this too, and I printed it up for her, so it could be my mistakes. You know what? Forgiveness, right?
Yes.
I know someone's going to come up to me, John, you don't have this apostrophe right in the... Yeah? The Bible says there is none good, Jane. Now let's leave it at that. We're all here to try to serve the Lord the best we can.
Yes.
Anyway, Genesis 24:63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. We could look at this whole account about Isaac here. He's going to be getting a wife soon, and the wheels are in motion for that. But Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. These are the camels that were bearing his new wife, Rebekah, but we won't go into that sideline today. But here it is, folks. You know, we have to look at the grammatical structure of what God's Word says to understand fully what He means. Because sometimes the English translation of that could have multiple meanings, but the Greek, or the Hebrew in this case in the Old Testament, or the Aramaic, those are the three languages of the Bible. Very little Aramaic, but Jesus spoke it. But they come back and give you a truer meaning of what's going on here. So you have some blanks, and I have that here, but I can't go to that this morning. But if you don't get these, yell out to me, because they're not on the screen. What we find in the Hebrew text here is that word meditate is the Hebrew word lasuk. And it means simply this, and there's more to this passage. We'll come back to it later. Note also what time of the day this was. We'll get to more of that later. But also the fact that he was out in a field alone, okay? But lasuk means to bend down the body or mind or both. There's one of the definitions of meditation. To bend down the body or the mind or both. It's a time, again, what this describes, to do what? To come down in front of the Lord Jesus. By the way, you know, whenever people were in the direct presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, most of the time, where were they? Standing up like a wise guy? They were where? They were either on their knees or flat on the ground in respect and awe of God. But this word describes that. It's a time to bend down, to put yourself in the place that we ought to be in before God, and also not only to bend down the body, but also the mind, or in some cases, both. And then go in your Bibles to Joshua 1:8, and again, take a good look at some of these things around these verses. I think as we move through this, you'll see this. Joshua 1:8, is that wrong too? Well, it's Joshua. I can't remember what John 1:8 says right at the moment, but maybe it would be all right too. But I'm sorry about that. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I won't tell you what. John 1:8 says, or Joshua 1:8. See, you're getting me into trouble here now even. Joshua 1:8. This is where Joshua's taken over, okay, from whom? Moses. Yeah, and God's telling him what to do, to have what? Success and prosperity. By the way, folks, the Bible tells you how to be successful and how to be prosperous. So if any of you are concerned about that today, but I'll just tip you off on this. It doesn't tell you that you're going to be filthy rich or you're going to be popular. And let me just say this. You better be concerned, and I better be concerned about our success and popularity with God rather than with the world. Amen? Here it is. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. And take a look at this. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, the word there in the Hebrew is the word hagel. Hagel. And in this case, it means to murmur or pray over. So meditation has a component that involves prayer. And this is either silent prayer, but in this case it endorses what? Vocal prayer. It's not wrong to speak to God with your lips. Okay? And to murmur. You know, to talk to Him in low tones as you're, again, in that position where you're intimate with the Lord. That's a part of meditation as well. Then we go to Psalm 1:2. And yes, you're going to be using your Bibles or devices this morning. Psalm 1:2. And as I've said before, half jokingly, but I do not. I don't own stock in a Bible publishing company. But God wants us to use His Word. But one thing about it, there's an ample supply of Bibles in the United States of America. Amen? And you know what? We even give them away here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Now that's a deal. I love that down at the park when we have that down there, when we have free Bibles on a table. And you know what people say to me, Larry, what do I owe you for this? It's a privilege to give it to you. And usually most years we'll give away half a dozen Bibles, some other literature, and have an opportunity with people. Anyway, Psalm 1:2. By the way, Psalm 1 is a great piece of scripture to memorize, but here it is. It says, well, I'll read one with it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the book, the law of God, of the Lord. And in his law doth he... Check that out there too, day and night. We'll come back to that later. But here we have a word that is similar to hagel, but we have the word hagah, and that means to ponder or imagine. Haggah means to ponder or imagine. So this is another component of meditation. It's to what? Think about the things of God that come out of the Scriptures. And, you know, we don't want to use imagination in a bad way. The Bible talks negatively about the wrong kinds of an imagination. But it's simply to do this, to dwell on the mighty things of God. The great things, the attributes of God that we encounter in His Word and that we encounter in our lives. Well, you can check on several other Old Testament meanings, and I encourage you to do that. We don't have the time to do that today, but this should wet your whistle. You know that terminology? It should make you want to look for more. Now the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4:11-16. 1 Timothy 4:11-16. Here Paul's talking to who?
Timothy,
yeah. By the way, I wonder if Paul had a nickname for Timothy. I don't know. Anyway, he's talking to him here. He says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Paul was doing what here with Timmy? He was teaching him, right, Matt? He was mentoring him. This is what's an important part of your spiritual life, Timothy. "Till I come," he says, "give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift." And this is teaching, is what Paul was talking about here. "That is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, and with the laying on of hands by the presbytery." And 15, key verse. He told him to what? Meditate. "These things give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So it sounds to me like Paul told Timothy what? Meditation is profitable. Now, do you want to know what the Greek word for meditation is? By the way, does anyone have a problem with becoming sick this morning over the teaching of the word? Well, I want to warn you, there's going to be some things here that might cause you to get a little queasy, but you'll be all right. That word meditation there is the Greek word melatao. Melatao, and it means to roll over in the mind. Melatao, to roll over in the mind. Meaning what? Good, you got it. Now go to Philippians 4:8-9. I know it's backwards. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 4. 8 and 9. And I encourage you to look through the whole scriptures about these very things. Philippians 4:8-9. 8 is a key thing here where we find, but here it is. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things..." Well, again, Paul's telling Timothy to what here? Or the Philippian church to what? To rejoice. And he's telling them the reasons why they should rejoice. But here's verse 8. "Finally, brethren, believers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue..." Christians, our minds need to be focused on what? The good stuff of God. Now here's the thing to pay attention to specifically there, he says. "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's a substitute for the word meditate. Yes, a piece of foam just came out there. That's why I say stay back out of spitting range. This is the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai. I won't mess around with that this morning, but here's what it means: to take account of inventory, to come to a conclusion about the things, the deep things of God. So there it is. To take account of or inventory and come to a conclusion about the deep things of God. Now, here's the part that might make you queasy. We're going to talk about cows. I know there's people think, "Oh, Pastor John, the old farmer, that's all they talk about at Fruitland." Do I talk about agriculture much here?
No.
Not really. But there's a perfect example of meditation in these words that I've already given you here in the Hebrew and the Greek. That fits. And it has to do with cows. Talk to me about cows. Anyone else messed with cows? We've got a few here that have. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to when I was milking. And some of you, I showed up. You can see all these scars since I've had diabetes. See them? That's all from fixing fences. And when I was milking, we had jerseys. And the jerseys are sweet. But two things I did a lot of that involved being, besides milking and feeding and caring for them, but it was fixing fence and digging out thistles out of the pastures. How many of you are even familiar with how cows operate? You know what this is a question maybe you can answer. In our pastures, when we were milking, the cows have trails. Cows are this wide, but their trails are this wide. Now, the thing I want to know is what makes them choose the trail they choose for the day when they go out on their circuits? I didn't have time to do a study, but it's neat how they pick a path that they go every day. This all fits. Just bear with me. Well, sometimes when I was out doing thistles, and I still do thistles, but I've told the boys it's more their thing now, but you know, they know the old man's watching. You missed one out there. But the cows, you'd come in and in the morning they'd be milked, they'd have their grain, and they'd go out to graze, and toward late morning, what would they do? Tell me, cow people. Don't think wrong things here, but they lay down. They'd drink out of the creek and they'd lay down. That's another interesting thing about cows. In hot weather, the wind would always be at their face. In cold weather, the wind would be at their back. Or they'd try to be in it. God gave the cows more sense than people.
It's true.
Now, I know you think I'm half over the edge, and I know that you want to send me to Mount Pleasant, but not to Old Threshers. Some of you need help on understanding that. But I'd go out and talk with the cows when I was done fixing fence, and they'd be laying there. Cows have personalities, too. You've got some cows that are high-strung, and when they'd see you coming, and they were there laying with the flock, the herd, what I'm getting to is chewing the cud. I'll get to that. Don't let me forget that. They wouldn't want to have you next to them or to touch them or pet them or anything or talk to them by name. They'd get up and they'd leave. But some of the old girls would stay there and you'd walk up to them. And all of our cows had names. In fact, even with the stock cows, I had one. Her name was Wrapped in Silk, R-A-P-T in Silk. She came up every day for a ear of corn, And she had a curly white hair Hereford cow, you know. Kay, you'll like this. We had one of John Fishburne's cows in our herd. We called her Mother Hereford. She was elusive. Kay was a secretary to one of our esteemed attorneys here. I had to bring that. He always had Herefords, and I liked them always. I put a few of his cows when they sold his cows with ours. But Mother Hereford, you could never touch. And they all had personalities. But the ones you could sit down by, they'd be there swatting the flies. You could pet them, scratch around their poles, yeah, so forth. And you'd hear this sound come up and go, vroom, and then they go. Cows have four stomachs. Now I'm forgetting the word for them now. Help me, someone. Well, regurgitate, but ruminants. Cows have four stomachs. Did you know that every bit of food that they consume, they chew at least twice? They bring it back up for a second go-around. And there's been studies done on this. There's been studies done. I didn't watch the old girls like this, but they would, every time they bring up a regurgitation to digest what they've eaten, they chew it between 40 and 80 times. Now, I'm not going to give us a lesson how all that works. Iowa State studied that, but trust me, you can find out. Talk to me. What am I talking about this morning? This is meditation, see? And let's just be honest with each other here today. I'm honest with you. I told you I need to change in this, and I need to let the Lord change me. You know, I spend too much time gathering stuff for sermons, but not enough time chewing the cud. Because I'm under pressure. Because you need to perform, Pastor. No, I'm not. You know where I'm at, though. You're the same way. Your lives are busy. Even people that are retired are busy. But folks, we need to get a little bit more like the old girls, the cows. And by the way, I said some of them were high strung. They didn't want to mess with you. They'd leave. But the cows that were what? Contented. They were focused on what? And the breath wasn't too good from them either, I'll tell you. But they were what? They were concentrated on what? Getting the value out of the food as God designed. I think we need to think a little more along those lines. Don't you agree? I'd love to take you on a tour with the, you know, of course, the boys, their cows are wild. I do think the genetics have changed in the cattle. They're crazy today. I mean, Greg's had to weld up, well, you've heard about it in the sale barns. The cows have jumped panels that historically were in sale barns. I can't remember if that happened at Wapello, Larry. I think it did. Yeah, and they had to put another foot higher on the stuff to hold them back. But anyway, that was a neat thing, you know, fixing fence, cutting thistles, having a little time with the cows, going through. But they made it a point to recycle. Doug. Like I said, Doug, God gave the cows more sense than the humans. It's not, no, he didn't. He gave the humans the sense. The book. You have any more on that, Doug?
No, well, one calf was dying after delivery. And they were out in the pasture. It was late May or June. We buried it. I took the cow up, you know, I'm trying to extract her up to the feeder we had for the calf.
Yep.
And it distracted attention. I wasn't having much success.
But, yep. Yep.
All the way back there.
Yep. Yep. Next Sunday's our Sanctity of Life message, too. I can already tell we're not going to get done with this one, but we'll shelve it till week after, if that's okay. Doug, you're right, and, you know, if you've never been around a cow's tongue, they're like a washcloth, and they wash their calves, and, yeah. Oh, I could tell you a lot of stories. Probably the best cow we ever had was a cow that Bethany bought one time. She was I don't know if you've ever heard of Baker, or Chandler Herford's out of Baker, Oregon, but she was a Line 1 Dominette. And she was one of those cows that when you came out in the pasture, she was gone. But she took care of her calves. We never touched one of her calves. And she raised beautiful calves. Bethany won State Fair one year, the Cow-Calf Championship with she and her. And her daughter, what was her daughter's name, Kim, that she won with? Razmataz. Yeah, Razmataz. So anyway, yeah, I've been there and done that, but you can learn a lot from God's creatures. And like you said, Doug, there's good mothers and there's bad, and even with the cows. But the cows that did a good job, they did a really good job. Now, are we ready to move on from the cows? Is anyone sick? There will be nothing more that will make you sick this morning. So, second question. We have a little insight now into what is meditation. Now, why does God command it? Well, already you've gleaned some of those facts, but let's go to Psalm 19, 7 through 14. No, I think it's 19. Well, I'm sorry, folks, about the sheet. It could be. I think it's 19, though. Well, let me check 19 first. You might be right, Doug, but... Seven through 14. No, I'm right. It's 19. 119 we're going to get to, though, Doug. It's in there, too. See, you guys are trying to trip me up. Oh, I know that, Matt. Well, the first reason God commands it is for our benefit. Do you really believe that a loving God would want us to do things that weren't for our good? No. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. Just listen to this. By the way, we're done on time. We'll come back, okay? So chill out. The law of the Lord is perfect, meaning complete, okay? It has everything in it. Converting the soul, right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple or the unlearned. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Bottom line here, God's telling us what through David? My word is worth taking a look at and allowing to be placed in our life. A warning there in verse 11 is one of those things, but also what? Reward. Now verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. In other words, the word of God is what shows us when we're on the wrong track. Junior high or high schools, what did we learn about this morning? Doing the, Landon? Thank you, Landon. You're a good student. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. God's word keeps us from getting into big trouble. Now here's the word, the verse. Let the words of my mouth and the of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So again, it's for our benefit that we should be involved in meditating to do what? To please God and to praise God and to save us from trouble. Second one here is Psalm 49:3. Psalm 49:3. Now, I'd say we gloss over a few of these and that I knew you'd look them up later today. But you might not. So here it is, folks. This is a very important thing about meditation and why God commands it. And I'll give you the answer. It's to get deeper understanding. And by the way, the word that we find here, let's read it, 49:3, is this. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation, there it is, of my heart. By the way, this is another little twist on that. It's the word, the Hebrew word hagen. Fits in with those other ones that you looked at. But hagen means direct turning or change. And you see, that's what it is. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Standing. You see, this place here that meditation is used, it's a turning or a change that it'll bring to us. And that's why he gives it to us, to have a deeper understanding and to promote turning or a change of our ways to his ways. See, and we're almost finished here this morning. And this is not an all-inclusive list, but he does it for life and for health. For life and for health. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, here Solomon writes, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The meditation in God's word, the chewing of the cud of God's word, promotes the goodness of life and our health. You know, it's interesting that most people, when they don't feel well, go to the doctor. And that's not wrong, necessarily. But have you ever wondered how much different our life might be if we slowed down a little bit and looked into the Word of God and let the Spirit speak to us and went to the great physician? Just something to think about, folks. God gave us this, and he gave us this desire for us to meditate for our spiritual and even our physical well-being. Makes sense, doesn't it? And then these are not backed up by specific scriptures, but I'll just give you some general reasons that are backed up in the scriptures, but I didn't put them down. It's to promote a closer walk with God and with others. To promote a closer walk with God and others. To promote a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. To promote a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. To promote an expanded communication and prayer life with God. To promote an expanded communication and prayer life with God. And then lastly, to promote spiritual growth, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and growth in grace, like Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, where he tells us that we ought to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and much, much more. Last point again, to promote spiritual growth, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and growth in grace. You see, the bottom line, folks, is meditation is a very important part and component of our relationship with Jesus Christ when we're saved. And if we neglect it, what are the results? They are not to our benefit. And that's why God commanded it. Well, it's time to quit. Next time, it'll be week after this, Lord willing. If not, though, you've got the outline and the verses. You can look it up. Hang on to your papers, but we can make more for the next time. But the three other points are these. How do we do it? Where is it done best? Thinking back again to some examples that we'll look at, but thinking back to Isaac today and thinking about the cows. And what are the benefits or the value and the summation of meditation? Well, folks, in closing today, as soon as I get my sheet over, let me just ask us this today. Who would come clean and join me this morning? Seeking a closer walk with God in prayer and meditation. From what we've heard already, is your life like the cows that stayed put and enjoyed what God gave them to eat thoroughly? Or are you like the cow that I mentioned, the cows, when you go out around them to talk to them and pet them, and yes, I have talked to them. When they saw you coming, they got up and moved. Seriously, I think that's where we'd be at today, wouldn't we be? What is God speaking to you and I about today as you ponder, and yes, we used that as a word for meditation, as you ponder Him? Well, if you don't take time to check it out with Him, you're not going to know. And let me just say this in closing, folks, time is short. Landon asked me this morning how old I was. And I said, I'm not that old, but to Landon, I seem old. I don't feel old. But you know what? Where'd all this time go? Every day we fool around, folks, and don't get down with the cows and chew the cud. It's another opportunity gone to get close to God. I know the churches have taught a lot of this, and get saved and it's all done. I told you that's not right. Oh yes, our salvation is secure, but the thing is, folks, we're missing the good stuff. Just like the cows. They thoroughly were benefited from what they took in as food. And here we are, even I can say today, and I'm not upset, but you know, come on, John, get it wrapped up. We got things to do. I think it's time we get back like the old cows. Don't you agree? And it's a day that we can do it. And you know what, folks? Time is short. A move toward Him will be beneficial. Neutral or away will be a shame. That's all I got to say today, folks. Amen. Let's stand. We've got a song on the board. I've got a handout so I can see it without standing up here by the monitor. But here's the song, and it's not in your hymnals. What's the song? Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. You got it, folks. And here's the neat thing about that. If you're willing to take a step toward God today, He's going to be waiting with open arms. Maybe you need Him today. Maybe you need to be saved. Now, yeah, I'm a sinner, but you know what? I don't know where my destiny lies. Well, you can know today in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. But also today, if you can admit in front of Him today, and I think we all could do this, we need to be in a closer walk with Him. We need to be chewing the cud of His Word and being changed and transformed. Let's sing it together. If there's a need, you come forward. You mention something to me in the line as we leave today. May the Lord bless you today, but don't put it off. Time is short. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Sit down, Sharon, I'll come right up. Just a closer walk with Thee, Autumn. Yeah. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's sing verse 2 and then we'll close. But would there be others today that would want to set some things straight with the Lord Jesus and get prepared to chew that cud? Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? With me my burden shares. None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Doug, I'm going to ask that you'll close today. Greet one another. I've got some folks here I'm going to visit with for a few minutes. Lord bless you today. I love you. Have a good afternoon in the Lord. Doug?